will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Moscow's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Your neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Most are afraid of unknown depths, skirting shores thinking world flat. I'm with the Island Girls in celebration of new religion. Nobody led me or said this way. I sailed alone on makeshift raft with wind as companion. Fate for deliverance, confidence enough to assess. New disposition. Seekers of lost paradise may seem fools to those who never sought the other worlds. Welcome to Momentary Zen with Zen Garcia. Visit www.fallenangels.tv. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Hello and welcome, friends. Thank you always for taking the time to join me in live broadcast. It's a great honor and a privilege for me to have this platform here on Revolution Radio to share my thoughts and perspective on the strange things that are now coming to light and which so many are being forced to contend. The seeker of lost paradise may seem a fool to those that have never sought the other worlds. Tonight, we're going to talk about those other worlds. And we're going to bring some clarity to what is, you know, truth and how it is stranger than fiction. One cannot imagine or write up the story that is our own in regard to lost paradise and how we are all now seeking that which we have fallen from. And it's been just maybe 20 minutes earlier, I've been watching some broadcasts on congressional hearings that have recently taken place with whistleblowers on what is the, what they're calling now the UAP phenomena, unknown aerial phenomena. And it is all these high level military commanders, Pentagon people, military people, people that have been in really clandestine alphabet agency black op projects working behind the scenes. And it has now been disclosed in front of our so-called elected officials that the U.S. government has had in place for decades these task groups, which would go out and retrieve these UAP, these craft, which are beyond the capability and beyond the technological capacity of humanity, our, you know, our, the known, what we know in regard to human intelligence capabilities from this world. So these things are beyond comprehension, and it's being specified that the governments of the world have been now for a very long time actively seeking to bring down craft and to go forth and retrieve it. And not only are craft being recovered, but the so-called non-human entities which are piloting these craft are also said to have been located. And it has come to light that there was specifically the mention of an individual given the name Krill, that this being survived and was in direct contact, telepathic capacity, was able to engage in language and interaction with whoever it was that was tasked with communication with this particular deity, being, individual. And that the stories have come forth and have been covered up. There's also in the background the story of an individual named Val Thor or something of that nature. And this individual was said to also have lived for several years and shared a lot of information and technology with shadowy aspects of government. And so now these things are coming to light. And for those that are still unable to wrap your mind around these declarations, and if you're, you know, behind the scenes and you're laughing and making fun of, and, you know, you just openly ridicule anybody that would dare speak about these things. Well, now the joke is on you. because these congressional hearings are a very serious attempt by state representatives to get answers, which they have been, and which we have been, largely denied for decades. And really, if you understand the bigger picture, which we're going to speak about, and this is something that came up in the patron AMA that we had last night, where I was asked to explain the creation narrative and how it is that these things, which what we see as the extraterrestrial or ancient alien phenomena, is connected directly with what the Bible calls the Nephilim, or the fallen ones, or the rebel angels, or the seraphic dragon-like angels, which were cast out, banished from the heavens in very ancient times, and which have been here for very, very long periods and duration of time. And so these riddles have been disclosed in the ancient mythologies, the ancient religions, the oral traditions of indigenous peoples worldwide. And it's interesting to me that the one of the latest book sets that I wrote, the Pre-Adamites and the Antediluvian World, and also the Dragon Lords, the Antediluvian Kings, that I wrote these books dating, and they date back to the release of what was our first conference, the Sacred Word Revealed conference that we had. I think this was in 2021. It was when the whole C-19 situation happened and everything had shut down and everything was forced, and people were forced to contend with and to look at and to examine what was the strange nature of what the Bible predicts and speaks about when, you know, the apostles asked Christ what would be the signs of the end of the age, and he said, beware that they don't deceive you, and that there will be wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, the waves and the seas roaring. That certainly these things are coming to light, and they are signs. They are indications of what is a greater plan and purpose for all of us in this time and age. And so everybody now is receiving a reality check, and everybody is being forced to reconsider what they thought of as truth, and also what they prioritized as being relevant and important for life and being. And so the question had come up last night about, and Trey wanted me to explain and help him to make sense of the first few passages of Genesis and the scriptures and how it was and how it is that Elohim creating the heavens and the earth, that the earth then became void and without form. And so we're going to explain these things because it's very important that you understand this aspect of the scriptures, because this one point has incorporated within it the knowledge of what occurred in the ancient past and that which the world that thereby then was, and that people being willingly ignorant would not remember and not understand what happened in the past that led us to where we are now. And this will also include what Peter describes as the first world age. And it also brings forth the story of how the fallen ones, the rebel angels, going to war against the Most High, not wanting to serve, but to be as kings themselves. They wanted kingdoms to rule. They wanted to do as thou wilt, being the whole of the law. And so this is something we're going to expound upon. And my hope is to help you to make sense of the exotic aspect of reality, the segment of what Paul references as the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And in my opinion, this is so relevant for the times. It's so important that the church, because without a doubt, the word, when you read it and you study it and you consider it, and when I speak about the word, I'm not just talking about just the 66 books of the authorized and accepted King James Version of the Bible, because it's very important that if you are to understand prophecy, if you are going to make sense of the esoteric nature of Genesis 6 and the disclosure that the sons of God mating with the daughters of man, which are the daughters of Cain specifically, another very important point, that it was this unholy copulation which led to a very haughty, proud, and strong race of giants being born into the physical world. And that these beings, these entities, called the men of renown, the men of names, these demigods because they were born of both angelic and earthly interaction, that their parents, being supernatural, they were also copulated in supernatural aspect. But the caveat for all of that is that the angels which took wives of all which they chose. And it's important that you understand this is a spiritual disclosure. And it has to do with the angelic realms and the angelic hierarchy. And that there was and had been a rebellion of the angels against the Most High God, Elohim, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that it is these entities which were responsible for the disclosure of heavenly secrets, which manifest terror or suffering, illness, disease, the occult realities of spiritual wickedness, the convergence of the malign and demonic worlds with that of the physical realities in which we as humanity, born into this mortal embodiment, that we would learn here what is good and what is evil. That we would know good and evil, that our experience of this life would embody widely the spectrum of light and darkness. And so, in this world, we are to be exposed to things that are beyond comprehension, mind-blowing, that the whole theme of we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there is legion, there are existent in the ancient times, what were the arch nemesis of humanity and the children of God, that being the rebel angels, the demigod giants that were born unto them, and the hybrids, all of the hybrids that came forth from the unholy copulation of the giants, because they were very sinful and lustful in their engagement and their interactions with not only humanity, but with each other and also with the animal. And it says, even in the Book of Giants, that they corrupted the plant world in some manner. That the miscegenation which took place in ancient times led to the genetic corruption in whatever manner that occurred, but it genetically corrupted all things. So that in this day and age, when we are in the last times at the end of the age, we would have a repeat that unless the days be shortened, there should be no flesh left. But for the elect's sake, the days would be shortened. And that Christ was basically telling us, if he did not return to put a halt to what the fallen angels were going to bring upon this world, that it would lead to the death of every human now alive in the creation. And it would end up in the genocide, the slaughter of all of the creatures in similar manner. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the second coming of the Son of Man. So, anyways, I'm going to go into some quotes. Let me go ahead and open the chat room. I'm going to take a sip of water and then we'll continue on. All right. Let us pick up the story, because this is a strange one, and it's nothing that I've not been talking about, but it is something that has recently come forth, and of which the world is now being brought to disclosure upon. This is without a doubt part of what was spoken about by whistleblowers like Stephen Greer and other government officials that were trying to bring humanity forth in disclosure, what they call disclosure. And disclosure to me is much like what we see written in the scriptures as the apocalypse, which that is a Greek word meaning to reveal, and to reveal those things which have been largely hidden and largely unknown. And how it is that humanity forgot all these things that were, you know, common knowledge in ancient times. We've been brainwashed. We've been indoctrinated to laugh at anything that goes against what we believe possible in regard to existence. We think that all of the mythology is nothing more than fairy tales, children's stories, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, that kind of thing, when it is everywhere written about and disclosed within the scriptures that a race of giants, they were the arch nemesis of the children of God, and that the angels which left their first estate, according to Jude, that abandoned their place of habitation, that had rebelled against the Most High, and because of that had been cast down, that these individuals are now what we know to be this demonic influence that is in control of this high technology and this super natural capacity, because we have to understand that they have been here for a very long time. According to their own mythology, the Sumerian cuneiform text, they describe an era of 432,000 years that these entities, the fallen ones, have been here upon the earth and that have been cast out of the heavens. That's a very, very long time. Think about, modern humanity, we go back 6,000 years, if you think of, you know, Adam to Abraham, Abraham was born in 1948, which is interesting because that's also the date of when, you know, 1948, this is when Israel, the fig tree, came forth. The blooming of the fig tree, that you see this sign, know ye the parable of the fig tree, that when you see its tender leaves shoot forth, that you would be in the season, the generation that would witness the return of the Messiah and the fulfillment of all things. And it's interesting that Abraham was born in 1948 BC. And then, you know, we have the, if it is correct, which I contend, because I believe prophetically that Christ, the word told Adam that he would enter into flesh 5,500 years after his banishment from paradise. However, I do believe that the duration of the Second World Age will be a 7,000-year period of 120 jubilees, which each being 50 years in length. This is a 6,000-year era, and then you add the day of rest. A day is 1,000 years unto the Lord. The Sabbath rest, and that this would bring us to the millennial age. And that this current Second World Age, and yes, this is not the first. There was a previous World Age, and probably many, as the scriptures seem to disclose, but we're going to go with at least one as described by Peter, in which I'm going to get into it because I know that without a doubt there are a number of accepted and alternative truth channels that deny what I'm going into and what I will be sharing. And they say that, you know, there was no such thing as a pre-Adamic age or an ancient past. And that the earth really is only 6,000 years old, which seems, you know, a little bit foolish to me, but we are all entitled to our own opinion. I think the key, the important thing to do when considering this information is to go into the original Greek and Hebrew and see what is disclosed therein. And that when you do so, you will find that in the Hebrew, in the Genesis narrative, that the earth became tohu wa bohu, that the primeval earth became a deserted wasteland and an inextinguishable ruin, and that it was not made in such manner. For why, if you really think about it, why would God, Elohim, why would Elohim create the earth incomplete and then just complete, you know, bringing it forth incomplete, then have to spend more time and effort finishing it? Why not just create it finished in the first place? And yes, I know that the story that we're supposed to see the different aspects of you know, the creation being manifest. But it's clear that when you look at the Hebrew for the words tohu wabohu, that these words are that the earth became or becomes. The primeval earth became or becomes a deserted wasteland and an indistinguishable ruin. How does something become a wasteland? How is something ruined? It's destroyed. Something occurs, something happens, which leads to whatever it is that became destroyed and ruined. Something led to it becoming and taking on such form. And so we're going to look at that, and I'm going to explain those things further for you to help you to understand and to grasp and to make sense of this, because we're going to give you the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the mind to understand. And you're going to be able to look at the first three verses of the scriptures in a way that's going to help you understand what is implied, what has been hidden and lost to consideration. And this is, it's written about in Ecclesiastes. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. These things have been forgotten. Enoch talks about this as well. He said, and he took up his parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angels showed me. And from them I heard everything, and from them I understood as I saw. But not for this generation, but for a remote one, which is for to come. Enoch understood that what was disclosed to him was to be understood in a distant generation. The things that he was writing about, with the fall of the angels, the rebellion of the watchers, the creation of the giants, these are all things that a world in a former, in a remote time would be able to grasp and understand. And so we're going to consider that. Because again, this is so very important to make sense of. I still did not open up YouTube. Let me do that now. Okay, here we are. Thank you. All right. How the world that then was became an indistinguishable ruin. And I will visit the chat after we go into a little bit of this. Let's look at 2 Peter. Because this is the key. Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Scoffers. In the last times, there would be scoffers. And they would ridicule those of us that speak about prophecy, those of us that bring forth the disclosure of the scriptures to help people to understand the gospel in a way that they may not have previously considered. And he says this, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now we're going to look at the Greek word for perished, because in my opinion, this passage is connecting with Genesis 1-2, where the earth became without form and void, as we will see. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, the ones that we live in now, the generation that we live in now, the second world age which we are currently living, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Remember, I covered about the end times and about how it's going to be that the stars come crashing to the earth, that this world is going to burn up in fervent heat. It's going to be made perfectly flat, smooth, like a table. That the mountains are going to be brought low. The seas are going to be elevated. And everything is going to be smooth as it was once established long ago in creation, that the earth was established in that manner previously. When you look up the word old in the Greek, it's the word epalahi. It means long ago, of a long time, for a long while, of old. And standing out of the water, it is the word synestao. Synestao. To set together by implication, to introduce favorably or figuratively, to exhibit intransitively, to stand near, or to constitute, approve, command, consist, make, stand with. And the water. The water as in rivers, fountains, pools. The water of the deluge, the earth's repositories. Water as the primary element out of and through which the world that was before the deluge arose and was compacted, of the waves of the sea. And then was, the world that then was, is the word tote. The when, at the time, that of the past or future, also in consecution, that time, overflowed, is cataclyso. It is to dash, to wash down, by implication, to deluge, overflow, to overwhelm, with water and submerge. The word perished in the Greek, this is very important, is apolibi, to destroy fully. Reflexively, to perish or lose, literally or figuratively, destroy, die, lose, mar, perish, to put out of the way, entirely, abolish, put an end to, ruin, render useless, to kill, to declare that one must be put to death. It is a metaphor to devote or give over to eternal misery. In hell, to perish, to be lost, ruined, and destroyed. So what Peter is talking about is the world that then was, and this is before the deluge. And the deluge is speaking about Noah's, the time of Noah's. But this is the deluge which destroyed the earth in what is the first world age. That the earth, the world that then was standing out of the water and in the water, perished, meaning to be completely annihilated, destroyed. So, looking at the verse in 2 Peter, when you interpret it, when you interpret the Greek, it says, in the distant past, the earth that then existed, overflown, dashed, washed down, and overwhelmed, in, with, and by water, implication of deluge, this landscape was fully destroyed in submergence, put out of the way entirely, abolished, lost, marred, perished, and ended in ruin. That world that then was rendered useless, killed, devoted, and given over to eternal misery. So again, something happened. Something led to the earth being destroyed. And what was that? It was the war in heaven. It was the separation of light and darkness. It was the moment when Christ being revealed as the light of the world, that Hallel, Samael, the angel of death, he decided he was going to rebel. He decided he was going to try to usurp the throne of Christ, to take his dominion, and to try to be like the Most High, that he was going to elevate his seat above the stars and the clouds of God. He was going to establish his throne in the sides of the north above the mount of the congregation, which is exactly where the throne of the Most High is established. And so, don't forget, Peter also revealed to us that the second world age would die by fire. When Christ returns and judgment is poured out on the wicked, those not written into the books of life. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. And a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And remember, we're told that the stars are going to come crashing to the earth, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Peter also continues with that. He tells us, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, that after the new heavens and the new earth, salvation, for the former things will be passed away. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. All right. Remember, and it's written in so many places, especially the Revelation of St. John, the Theologian. I'll read this one passage before we go to break. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So yes, a new heaven and a new earth. The hills, the valleys, the mountains, everything's going to be flattened. And that's what the scriptures say of the end of this age, the end of the second world age. A mighty stream of burning fire from heaven, and every place consumed, earth, ocean, vast and gleaming sea, and lakes and rivers, springs and cruel Hades, and the heavenly sky and heavenly light shall break up into one, and into outward form all desolation. For stars from heaven shall fall into all the seas, and all the souls of men shall gnash their teeth, burned both by sulfur stream and force of fire. All right, I think we are at break. We'll be right back, everyone.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association. when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And so, the previous passage, it's so important to understand 2 Peter. It is the key for unlocking and helping us to understand that the first world age that was destroyed, annihilated, perished, that this world age is spoken about and covered at length. Well, we see it covered in length in other places, but this is where the earth became without form and void. And as I hold on 1 second. All right, sorry, I lost my voice there for a second. But as I've covered in, again, in my books, and I know a lot of people don't read, but if you want all of these sources, you can get them in the two book set on the pre-Adamites and the antediluvian age, the antediluvian world. Because, and we're going to tie it together as to the war in heaven and how it is connected to the earth becoming a deserted wasteland and an indistinguishable ruin. You have to understand this portion of the scriptures in order to understand what happened and how it led to the earth being necessarily recreated. And that when the humans, the next chapter of the humans that were created in Genesis 1:26-28, that these humans were created on the earth and they were instructed, they were made couples, male and female, and of various races. They were the ones that were told to go forth and to replenish the earth. So a couple things to consider here. This passage from the legends of the Jews, it says that he made several worlds before ours, but he destroyed them all because he was pleased with none until he created ours. But even this last world would have had no permanence if God had executed his original plan of ruling it according to the principle of strict justice. It was only when he saw that justice by itself would undermine the world that he associated mercy with justice and made them to rule jointly. Thus, from the beginning of all things prevailed divine goodness, without which nothing could have continued to exist. For if not for it, the myriads of evil spirits had soon put an end to the generations of men. And we see that in 2nd Enoch, that the word of the Lord speaking to Enoch tells him, and one from out of the order of angels having turned away with the order that was under him, conceived an impossible thought to place his throne higher than the clouds above the earth, that he might become equal in rank to my power. And Christ says, I threw him out from the height with his angels, and he was flying in the air continuously above the bottomless. And then on the third day, I commanded the earth to make grow great and fruitful trees and hills and seed to sow. And I planted paradise and enclosed it and placed as armed guardian flaming angels. And thus I created renewal. I could read you this very long quote about the fall of the angels, but I don't know that I'll read a portion of it, just because it's very lengthy, and you can find all of this in my books if you want the full details on this. But this is confirmation as to the fallen angels being cast out on the second day, and that the war in heaven occurred with the light, the separation of the light and the darkness. And as I've explained it in previous places, the introduction of Christ as the light of the world, that this is what led to the iniquity being found within Samael, the angel of death, that he was jealous of Christ and the dominion that he had over the angelic hierarchy, and that Christ was the light of the world and the original morning star. And because he was given all of these, you know, given the leadership over the angels, who Lucifer, being the first created angel and the foremost amongst them, you know, he was beautiful, he was vain, he was jealous. He became jealous. And he tempted all the other angels to join him in rebellion and to go seeking for worlds of which they could rule over themselves. And so, it says this, in the beginning, before the creation of heaven and earth, God made the angels free intelligences and free wills, and out of his love he made them, that they might be eternally happy, and that their happiness might be complete. He gave them the perfection of a created nature, that is, he gave them freedom. But happiness is only attained by the free will agreeing in its freedom to accord with the will of God. Some of the angels, by an act of free will, obeyed the will of God, and in such obedience found perfect happiness. Other angels, by an act of free will, rebelled against the will of God, and in such disobedience found misery. Historically, it is represented as a war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The reason of the revolt was that Satan desired to be as great as God. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. But yet it tells us in Isaiah that he was cast down to the sides of the pit. I'm going to skip over some of this, but we know that the Most High told us that he saw Satan like fall like lightning from the heavens. And so we know that Christ was there when he was cast out. He was departed from the high heavens. And this is exactly what we are told in 2 Enoch about, and one from the order of the angels together with the order that was with him. It conceived the impossible thought that he could be equal in power to Christ. And for that, he was cast out. It says, he has manifested his power. He has cast down our adversaries. They are mad who resist him. They are cursed who depart from his commandments. He knoweth all things and cannot err. His will is sovereignly just, and all that he wills is good. All that he advises is holy. Supreme intelligence cannot be deceived. Perfect being cannot will what is evil. Nothing is above that which is supreme. Nothing is better than that which is perfect. None is worthy beside him but him who he has made worthy. He must be loved above all things and adored as the eternal king. But you have abandoned your God. You have revolted against him. You have desired to be gods. You have fallen from your high estates. You have gone down like a fallen stone. Acknowledge that God is great, that his works are perfect, and that his judgments are just. Glory be to God through ages of ages. Praises of joy for all his works. And then it tells us that Satan, whose proper name is Samael, which is the name in Genesis 3:6 in the Targum, it calls the serpent Samael, the angel of death, was one of these seraphim with six wings. He was not driven out of heaven until after he had led Adam and Eve into sin. This is what this portion says, but I'll skip down to the following. Well, let me just read this first. Then Samael and his hosts were precipitated out of the place of bliss with God's curse to weigh them down. In the struggle between Michael and Samael, the falling seraph caught the wings of Michael and tried to drag him down with him, but God saved him, whence Michael derives his name, the rescued. This is what the Rabbi Bashai says in his commentary on the five books of Moses. The apostate angels having fallen in a heap, God laid his little finger on them and consumed them. Samael was the regent of the planet Mars, and this he rules still. And therefore it is that those born under the influence of that star are lovers of war and given to strife. He was chief among the angels of God, and now he is prince among the devils. His name is derived from Simi, which means to blind and deceive. He stands on the left side of men. He goes by various names, such as the old serpent, the unclean spirit, Satan, Leviathan, and sometimes also Azazel. In his fall, he spat his hatred against God, and his spittle stained the moon. And thus it is that the moon has on it spots. All right. All right, I'll skip a little bit, and it says this. But the general opinion seems to have been that the fall of the angels preceded the creation of man. Ibn Ezra dates it on the second day of creation. Others on the first day when God divided the light from the darkness. Manasseh ben Israel says that God has placed the devils in the clouds that they might torment the wicked with thunder and lightnings and showers of hail and tempests of wind, and that this took place on the second day when the firmaments were divided. As the fall of Satan took place through his aspiration to be God, so it is closely connected with the origin of idolatry and false worship. For now that Satan is cast out of heaven, he still seeks to exalt himself into the place of God. and therefore leads men from the worship of the true God into demonolatry. Thus, the gods of the heathens were regarded by the first Christians as devils, aspiring to receive the worship from men on earth, which they sought and failed to obtain in heaven. And thus, St. Paul tells the Corinthians that the Gentiles sacrifice to devils. All right. Now, I want to share, before we get to the end, this is also very important to understand, and it is written in the Bible, in the scriptures in Psalms 82. It's 8 verses long. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, that they walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And so, God, standing in the congregation of the mighty, he judges among the gods. Who are the gods, little g? They are the fallen angels. They are those that want to exalt themselves to Godhead and to be like the Most High. And he tells us that this took place, that they wanted to exalt themselves when all of the foundations of the earth were out of course. This again is when the earth was without form and void. And the earth had become a deserted wasteland and an indistinguishable ruin. And so this is when the angels were placed under the authority of death. They would have to die the death of men. And so they were here on the earth way before we were. They were cast out to this realm. I'll share one more thing. This is important. This is from chapter 55 of the first book of Adam and Eve. This is the angels going back in remembrance. It's them reflecting on the war in heaven, what occurred, and how it led to the struggle of the angels with the devil and legion. It says, but now, O Adam, we will make known to you what came over us through him. Before his fall from heaven, he gathered together his hosts and deceived them, promising to give them a great kingdom, a divine nature, and other promises he made them. And his hosts believed that his word was true. And so they yielded to him and renounced the glory of God. He then sent for us, according to the orders in which we were, to come under his command and to accept his vain promise. But we would not, and we did not take his advice. Then, after he had fought with God and had dealt forwardly with him, he gathered together his hosts and made war with us And if it had not been for God's strength that was with us, we could not have prevailed against him to hurl him from heaven. But when he fell from among us, there was great joy in heaven because of his going down from us. For if he had remained in heaven, nothing, not even one angel would have remained in it. But God, in his mercy, drove him from among us to this dark earth. For he had become darkness itself and a worker of unrighteousness. And he has continued, O Adam, to make war against you until he tricked you and made you come out of the garden to this strange land, where all these trials have come to you. And death, which God brought to him. See here, it tells you. And death, which God brought to him, he has also brought to you, O Adam, because you obeyed him and trespassed against God. All right, let me get some water. I'll be right back, everyone. Then all the angels rejoiced and praised God and asked him not to destroy Adam this time for his having sought to enter the garden, but to bear with him until the fulfillment of the promise and to help him in this world until he was free from Satan's hand. And so here is confirmation of Psalms 82. That for if he had remained in heaven, nothing, not even one angel, would have remained in it. But God in his mercy drove him from among us to this dark earth. For he had become darkness itself and a worker of unrighteousness. And, O Adam, he continues to make war against you until he tricked you and made you come out of the garden to this strange land where all these trials have come to you. And death, which God brought to him, he has also brought to you, O Adam, because you obeyed him and trespassed against God. And so the angels were placed under the authority of death before we were. And it wasn't until the sixth day that Adam and Eve, being tempted, they fell. And when we were cast out, when they were cast out, they joined the devil's legion in being here upon the earth. And so that's why it is we see that the earth was already populated, that the legends of Mu, Lemuria, Atlantis, all these legends had previously spoken about how the angels were cast out of the heavens and how they lived here on the earth before we did. And they had created and populated the earth way more than we ever could. And there were more remnants, remains of their cyclopean megalithic architecture all over the world than are the cities that man has created in this day and age, which is why we continue to find all over the world. And another thing we have to understand is that the world at that time was different water level, that the angels, their cities, Atlantis, they had been destroyed. They had been drowned. They had been submerged. Just as Peter spoke about, that that world age was drowned, submerged. And we have a perfect example of this in Ezekiel chapter 26, where it speaks about a prior age and a prior people. Let me go to that quote. Ezekiel 26. And they shall take up a lamentation for thee and say to thee, how art thou destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men? The renowned city which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit that thou be not inhabited. And I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. And so what we have to understand about these angelic cities, even though we do see remnants of them in what are the high places of the world, you know, like Pumapunku and Göbekli Tepe and even Egypt, things of that nature. Most of their culture and civilization has been submerged, drowned. The myth of Atlantis being destroyed in a single hour, in a single day, in a single night, that it was swallowed up by the seas and disappeared. This is what Ezekiel is speaking about here. Destruction of the fallen angelic world. Jeremiah also speaks about this in chapter 4. And so, these things are hidden all throughout Scripture. And when you learn to understand, when you can see clearly what is revealed, it all makes sense to you. This is also connected to the fall of the angels, the rebellion, the creation of the giants, the rebellion of the watchers. This is also connected to the enmity between the seed line, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Because this is the war. This is a continuation of all that. And it tells us this in also in the first book of Adam and Eve. It says, but now, O Adam, because you fell, you are under my rule. This is Satan speaking. And I am king over you because you have obeyed me and have transgressed against your God. Neither will there be any deliverance from my hands until the day promised you by your God. Again, he said, because we do not know the day agreed on with you by your God, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered. For that reason, we will multiply war and murder on you and your descendants after you. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our orders in heaven. For as to our home, O Adam, it is in burning fire, and we will not stop our evil doing. No, not one day, nor one hour, chapter 57, verses 7 through 10. And so again, when you understand how it is that the rebellion, the war in heaven, connects to even what we see as the enmity between the seed lines, it is for this reason that the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the war scroll, speaks about the wars of the sons of light with the sons of darkness, and why it is that Christ speaks about the wheat and the tares. He says, let both grow together until the time of the end. And then at the time of the end, we'll send the angels forth as reapers to gather the tares for burning, but the wheat for preservation. All of this is important to understand. Let me check the chat room, and I welcome especially the new people. Keys to Truth, I saw Seek First. I saw somebody earlier that was an ordained minister, Flat Earth, something. It's good to see that people are coming to truth. Shazani, D. Smith. D. Smith asks, so wouldn't you say that Adam and Eve that were created in God's image that fell was part of God's plan to bring the Savior into the world, to save it? Adam and Eve had to fall. God knew they would. Absolutely. Not only that, and hello, Sherry and Collie. And Stephanie, good to see you, sister. Sherry, let me know when you received your books. I just want to confirm that you got them. Sassy, Artful, Jill, Paladin, number of awesome people. Dr. Herbalist asks, who shall endure? Well, we endure until the wrath of God is poured out on the wicked. And the bowl judgments are upon those not written into the books of life, those that have the wrath of God poured out on them, and that will succumb to the destruction of the heavens and the earth, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth before Christ comes to the earth, that the earth will be restored like a virgin bride in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. And if you want to know more about these things, you can read the Revelation of St. John the Theologian. And also, I recommend people read the Great Commission 3, all of the apocalyptic manuscripts which are contained therein. And that gives you insight into all of these things. All right. Also, if you have any questions, put them in the chat room. I'm gonna answer questions. If you don't understand what I've been talking about, I want to make this clear. But again, the angelic civilizations, remember, there was a time when, and it shows to us that, you know, like there used to be a big continent, Lemuria and Mu, whatever you want to call it, Atlantis, that exist in the Pacific Ocean. And there was also another place out in the Atlantic Ocean where, like even where Cuba is right now, there used to be temple complexes all throughout that region, and that are at the bottoms of the oceans right now. Bimini Road, you know, those kind of things. Casey talked about how Atlantis would be rediscovered there off the coast of Florida, Bimini Road. But anyways, there are so many cities on the bottom of the ocean, ancient megalithic sites that were created by the fallen angels, that were connected, that were aligned with the solstices, the equinoxes. There was more created in that time than is in existence right now. And there are daily things being discovered all over the world. And this, again, is because the fallen angels were here for 432,000 years. They lived here a long time, which is why in the Sumerians' kings list, it tells us that the Sumerian kings, they lived, the first one ruled like, what, 32,000 years, something of that nature. The next one, 20,000 years. They had longevity. Oh, yeah, thank you, Sherry. Flat Earth subgenius, yes. Welcome, Sean. Walking Bear. Good to have you here. Non-typical. And so all of these things are coming to light. And as I was speaking about at the very first portion of the show, we now have disclosure taking place. Congressional hearings where military whistleblowers are being called forth and asked to give a witness as to the things that they've experienced, the things that they've seen. And again, we were warned. Christ said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the second coming Son of Man. That they would be giving in marriage, taking wives. You know, everything would be going on as it had been. And then what happened? We had the deluge come upon the world. And that deluge was a judgment against the fallen ones, a judgment against the hybrid giants that were born from their incursion, their intervention into our world and our affairs. And so we're going to see much more of this coming to light. Why? Because now everybody has an iPhone. Everybody can shoot video and capture images. And things are being witnessed. The worlds, the supernatural, the spiritual, is colliding with the material world. Read the prophecy of the purifier, the return of the destroyer in the Colburn Bible. What was the name of that book? But anyways, the physical and the material worlds are converging. The veil is thinning. And remember, I made mention just recently also of how a theologian was speaking about, I see your question, Cynthia, I'll get to it in a second. A theologian was talking about what they were doing up there at CERN and how some scientists had come forth and are now believers. They were talking about the rituals that were taking place in CERN that they were calling forth, they were witness to, and they were seeing demonic entities being called into this world from those ceremonies that are taking place up there, where they're, you know, smashing particles into each other. Cynthia asks, how do we address alien disclosure to those who believe it is true? Well, alien disclosure is nothing more than the revelation that the Nephilim are these demonic entities. The so-called ancient aliens, they are the Nephilim of old, the fallen ones, those that rebelled against the Most High. And what we're going to see with all this disclosure, Cynthia, is that the world is going to be prepped to bend the knee to the Antichrist and to accept these Anunnaki, these ancient aliens, as the creators of humanity. And yes, Keys to Truth says, Cynthia, start with flat earth slowly. Yes, it's very easy to, anybody can go out and determine that curvature is non-existence. It does not exist. And so once you know that the earth is flat and that we are not living on a globe, that the world is not a sphere, water cannot adhere to a ball. It will always settle in a flat and level to the horizon. Then know that all that has been told about the ancient aliens being from distant galaxies, faraway worlds, that's all a lie. Isaiah 14 tells us that Satan was cast down to the pit, to the bottomless pit. What is the bottomless pit? If you understand flat earth and biblical cosmology, you'll know and you'll learn that the abysmal chasm, the navel of the world, the Hvelgemer, it exists at the North Pole. There's a whirlpool that surrounds a lodestone magnetic mountain there, which is the tallest in the world. This is where Christ was taken to this exceedingly high mountain. And he said from there he could see all the nations of the world. And that Satan was trying to get him to bow down to him, to give him a little worship, and that he would give him all the kingdoms of this world. But Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he said, I go now to prepare a place for you, and I will return. And when he returns, we're going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be gathered in the air and the clouds with him. And then we'll watch the wrath of God being poured out on the wicked. We'll watch the earth being destroyed and all of life being destroyed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, as I said. And so the great deception, the strong delusion, is that the ancient aliens created us. Dr. Herbalist asks, then do you miss Rob? Absolutely, brother. There's not a day that goes by that I don't have remembrance of him in some manner. In fact, I just recently started downloading all of our playlists. And thank you, Mark Limehouse, who hooked me up with this software that allows me to download all the videos of a playlist in a single click. Makes it so much easier. But you guys know, if you've been watching us for a long time, we've been speaking the truth for a long time, and we've been covering topics that the world does not want you to understand and know about. And that has to do with the sound of freedom, which is now bringing forth all of the information about what's going on behind the scenes with the elite, how they're trying to normalize abomination. We are in those times as well. The 10-point plan, Alice Bailey, normalizing abomination, bestiality, pedophilia, these kind of things. We are having daily our videos deleted because we've been covering these kind of truths for a very long time. So I know that if I want to preserve our work and to keep as many videos of what we have done preserved, that I had to get on the ball to start downloading them. And I invite all of you to download them and to share them. Put them up wherever you want. If you want to make an entire channel sharing our work, God bless you. Do it. Do it. And you know, monetize it. Make money off of sharing the truth. I don't care. I just want it to get out there. I just want our shows to be preserved because we're being censored. We're, you know, we're one strike away even right now. So, yeah, we know this keys to truth. It's just we don't have the time. You know, it takes time to upload all of the shows, especially when you've done 1,500. I've been on the air since 2006. I mean, you know, just on Blog Talk Radio, Fallen Angels TV, I have hundreds of shows there. On, you know, YouTube, on Revolution Radio, on Truth Frequency Radio, we've got hundreds of shows everywhere. We've given all of this to all of you for free. Just share it. Share it with others. And those of you that are readers, you can find all of our books at sacredwordpublishing.com. We appreciate all of your support. You know, my children, they left their corporate jobs, all of their, you know, because Joy used to be a marketing director at Cox Media. They're now working full-time for Sacred Word Publishing. We would appreciate you supporting them. Not me. I'm not asking in any manner for anybody to support or give us money. Just support the Patreon under Sacred Word Publishing. And you get free books sent to you. Every month you get a book sent to you, or you get to download it according to, you know, what your level of support is. And so it's a great blessing, and you get to, you know, collect all the books that we put out. And thank you, Dr. Herbalist. God bless you as well. Yes, Ken, I'm very busy, but it's a great honor for us to be able to do this. Me and my children, we are a family of scribes. We've dedicated our entire life to serving the kingdom, to revealing the truth. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you so much, brother. He says that he learned about this software from one of Rob's shows. And yes, thank you, Rob, brother. We know that you're looking down from heaven and that you're supporting us in our ongoing efforts to bring forth this truth. We're going to be reunited with you one day, brother. I know this. And it's going to be an awesome celebration. I look forward to learning the things that you're learning right now. Anyways, we're at the end of the show. I appreciate and love all of you. Do check out the Pre-Adamite series. The Pre-Adamites and the Antediluvian World, the Dragon Lords, the Antediluvian Kings, all this information, so much more. Even, you know, things about adrenochrome. I've written chapters and covered all of that. Because in the Emerald Tablets, it tells us that when the blood was offered, that this is when they would come forth. And you can bet that there's some blood offering going on at CERN. You might not see it, but these rituals are going on. In the same way at Bohemian Grove, as we were taught by the Franklin cover-up, those kind of things are going down. Be blessed all. Good night and shalom.
feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4am Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!